to, I guess we've called a final episode of Talk the Talk before, but this may be the final episode. Who knows? This has got a lot more legs than Bubble Trouble that we've seen that you weren't very happy with. But of course, the big one, Tony, the final week of Fight Camp. We'll go on to that show shortly. But another great week in week three. So many talking points. Let's go to some of those talking points. Good win for John Doherty against Anthony Fox. Zelfa Barrett against Eric Donovan. Let's talk about that one. I mean, it's hard when you, even after a couple of days, you sort of half fall in love with Eric Donovan and you know how much it meant to him and you heard his story. And then through five or six rounds, you are basically watching, you know, sorry for Zelfa Barrett, but a schooling of Zelfa Barrett. And me sort of sitting there thinking, blimey, what is unfolding here? You know, this big prospect coming out of Manchester, it could be all being thrown away. But again, eventually, his size and his power came through.
I think for Zelfa Barrett, he was very patient and he just took too long having a look, to be honest, Ed. He just couldn't get to grips with him. Donovan started quick, was on the offensive at first, which took Zelfa Barrett by surprise, and he just couldn't get into the rhythm. And then all of a sudden, the pressure's on you. Rounds five and six, you know, you're thinking, I'm behind, I've got to chase it and chase it. And it gets worse for him. He starts missing, and missing considerably by a fair amount. So in the end, he gets there, and, you know, he pulls out the bag when he needs it. That shows you character. It shows your heart and determination that he's never willing to give up. So that's a good thing for Zelfa Barrett. For Donovan, he just has to come back. He shouldn't be giving up. I know it'll be really
box at featherweight. He did make that jump to super featherweight as well. And Barrett, I mean, great punch power too. A lot of people talking about that left hook, like his Uncle Pat as well from the former days. Carries great power, exciting talent, but probably got to start a little bit faster sometimes.
He'll learn more from that fight than he will do the other whole lot previously, because, you know, he's behind, he's chasing. It's the first time he's been on such a big bill and been main event and then, you know, had it all to do. So it's just, it's something that he's going to have to learn to deal with, mate. You know, he's not going to be fighting journeyman now. He's expecting to blow away. He's going to be going in against guys who can beat him and guys who can box at the same level as him. And that's what he found with Donovan. Donovan was out boxing him in patches of the fight. He was out working him inside. But, you know, when push came to shove, he got the job done, mate. Fantastic left hook. And Donovan just was never recovered, mate. The referee should have really stopped after that first knockdown. To be honest, he was out.
Yeah, didn't recover from that. Good win for Kieran Conway, finding his way in the domestic mix with Fowler and Cheeseman and Eggington, etc. And another great female fight. You know, Shannon Courtney against Rachel Ball. A lot of people thought Shannon Courtney should have got the result. A lot of people thought it was a draw.
Yeah.
She done really well to come off the deck of that first round. Came out real wild. Copped a huge left hook. Did well to recover. And a lot of people had her winning the fight.
I thought it was really close. It was touch and go. I thought, with the knockdown, maybe Ball should have got it. But I don't know. When I was watching it on the night, I had to watch it back again. I thought Courtney had won it, definitely, when I was actually watching it, you know, when you're in the moment. But then when you actually watch it back, you think, no, the knockdown did play a big part in the fight, because she couldn't really get going that well after the knockdown for the rounds following. So I don't know where Ball will go, but Courtney, you know, shouldn't be disheartened too much. She's got a fair way to go. She talks a great game.
She was devastated. I mean, obviously, a defeat at that stage in her career feels like it's all over. But I said to her, you showed so much heart. You know, you jumped well in the deep end, probably before you were ready to do so. So still a big future for Shannon Courtney.
As I say, that flash knockdown in the first round is probably the defining moment of the fight, and that's what's probably lost. Well, it has lost it forward on the points. So going forward, I mean, is there a fight? Would you be willing to do a rematch straight away?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a good option. But I still think Shannon Courtney needs to learn. You know, she needs to come through. She probably needs to get her weight down a little bit, bound down towards sort of 8'10", 8'12". But, you know, again, I thought she showed great heart. I thought she boxed quite well at times. Rachel Ball's very tall, very awkward, experienced, done 10 rounds on several occasions as well. So, you know, I thought it was a great learning fight for her. And I'm sure she'll be back. And, you know, with the middleweights as well, great performance from Felix Cash, looked super sharp. You know, Jason Wellborn just couldn't really match the sharpness and the youth of Felix Cash as well. I think his plan was to try and take him into deep waters later in the fight, but from the first bell, Felix Cash just razor sharp.
That was definitely his plan. I'd said that through my social media platforms. I said that he's out here to try and survive for the first four or five and then put it on Felix Cash later. He actually nailed Felix Cash in the first two rounds with a shot, and Felix Cash just stepped back and it looked like he was kind of wobbled momentarily, really quickly, a little flash shot, and he just couldn't do nothing with it. He couldn't capitalise on it, and Wellborn just was like stuck him with the headlights, mate. Cash just teed off on him. Faster, stronger, better, technically much better. The thing with someone like Wellborn is he wants to see signs of you starting to tire before he starts putting it on you, and he just didn't get that from Felix Cash. Felix Cash didn't get tired at all. He just went through, mate, and it was easy work, to be honest. I think that's the end of Jason Wellborn now. You know, wouldn't like to see him anymore in the boxing ring. I think Felix Cash has finished him off.
Well, this week, the biggest of them all, we bring big-time boxing really back after the pandemic. Hasn't been a show like this, hasn't been a card like this, hasn't been a main event like this since we've returned. Of course, a lot of people talking about the main two fights on the card, Dillian White against Alexander Povetkin for this WBC diamond belt in front of us, and Taylor Pessoon for the undisputed lightweight title as well. But I just want to draw our attention to the first three fights on the card, which are really all fascinating. You know, six fighters that just have the opportunity to go out there and make a major, major name for themselves. They're in this bubble. They've got this platform. I love the fact that they're going to be extremely nervous. Yeah. They know they have to put a performance in. And that first fight between Zach Chelley and Jack Cullen is just that. Basically, speaking to both guys, I'm going to go at it from the first round. We've got 10 rounds to basically go in there and change our lives and pull a result out. You saw Jack Cullen against Felix Cash was a great fight. And Zach Chelley's here with his old man. Seriously pumped for this fight.
As we touched on over the weeks of while we've been doing the shows, every fighter will feel like they're the main event, and that's the best thing about this whole fight camp scenario thing. It's going to be the same here. I'm looking forward to Babich and Winters.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a demeanour about him.
It's an interesting matchup because Babich is quite an unknown quantity outside of the people that have sparred with him and been around him. He was a good amateur in Croatia, but has done hundreds of rounds with Dillian White. Dillian White ended up signing Babich and believes he can go on and be a serious contender in the division. He's quite small, isn't he, when you get around him? I mean, he's not the biggest heavyweight in the world, but this matchup with Sean Dell Winters shows the confidence in Babich, because I'm not saying Sean Dell Winters is going to be the world heavyweight champion, but he can really fight. You know, he's got some big wins on his record. He had a decent fight. I think he went five rounds with Joseph Parker last time out, but was competitive in that fight as well. And Babich, has not been in with anyone really with a pulse in the division.
Yeah.
And he hasn't shown anything, even in those fights. You can see he's heavy-handed, you can see he's aggressive. But this is either going to be a great bit of matchmaking or a terrible bit of matchmaking for the career of Alan Babich. But Sean Dell Winters certainly here, a little bit rattled, and looks ready to fight.
He does. It's adventurous matchmaking from Dillian and his team, but he obviously believes in him and he's showing it with this match. So it's what I'm looking forward to. I expect Babich to come through. I think with Winters, who'll come and have a fight, I think that'll suit Babich down to the ground. It could be Babich's moment of excitement in it. I think, you know, he might get locked once or twice, but I do think he'll come through. I think it'll be a really good fight.
I also made a statement earlier in the week, which I soon thought of and thought it was ridiculous, which was fighters generally come from a great pedigree, but I can't remember any great doorman that ever went on to become world champions. And actually, if you look back over boxing history, you included, Tony, but also Dillian White as well. Actually, there's many people that actually coming through earned a few quid in that trade.
I was just going to say, you're looking at one. it's security. I mean, doorman now, it's a different world we live in. Doorman aren't doorman of yesteryear. I was working before me and my father and stuff like that. It's not like it used to be, Ed. It's really not. It's, you know, there's doorman, well, security guards now. They've got a camera on the glasses, or they've got a camera on the chest, and, you know, and if something goes wrong in the nightclub, they actually call it. Once it's over a certain amount, they call the police to come and remove the people from the nightclub. That just didn't happen when I was doing that. So, different world, but there's been many in there. Babich is going to be another one. I'm pretty sure in Croatia, mate, they weren't calling the police.
No.
Looking at him.
Tough guy.
He's a rough, tough fella, and you can see, mate, he's not shy.
Yeah. Also, great little grudge match, if you like, scheduled for our March 28th 02 card, Luther Clay against Chris Congo. It's a really good matchup. Luther Clay had a great win in Italy with Al Siesta. They really believe in him. Quite a risky fight because he's had those sort of couple of TV wins now, and now goes in with a guy, Dillian White managed again, in Chris Congo, who's never been looking for that chance to break out. Really talented, undefeated welterweight, trained by Jimmy McDonald and all those guys. They really believe that's a good fight. It's a really good 50-50 clash in that fight. And as we move on to, of course, the two main fights, breaking those down, Katie Taylor against Delphine Pessoon. You know, I remember that fight in New York, and after about three rounds, I just remember Brian Peters in the corner. You know, I was sitting over there, and he sort of looked at me, looked up and looked at me after three rounds as if to say,
this is hard.
Yeah, and this girl is a rough house. And seeing Delphine Pessoon in the gym this week and watching her, absolutely going to do exactly the same thing. Katie, I think, will try and box and be smarter in this fight. I don't think there's any, but is that dangerous and hard to do over the 2 minutes when you've just got someone in your face walking you down, and how difficult it is to win those rounds? You know, when you've got someone, a bit like, you know, people talk about the Harper and Jonas fight and Shannon Courtney, sometimes the aggressor over that shorter time frame is going to come through and win those rounds.
That's why I think these two-minute rounds for the ladies are much better, because you have to attack. There's going to be no feeling out for a minute or getting used to the round. You've got to put it on each other, and that's what's going to happen. I think in the Pursuit and Taylor rematch, I think Katie Taylor will approach it as, I fought your fight last time. I gave you too much respect. I let you dominate too much. I think this time she's got a fantastic footwork, Katie Taylor, and I think she'll use that in this fight. She'd be stupid if she doesn't, in my opinion. Don't make it hard for yourself. Box Pursuit at range. Make her earn every single step that she takes to get closer to you. Every time she takes that step, pop up with something, a jab, a right hand, a backhand. Every time she's close to you, dig her to the body and then move off. I don't need to explain to her. Her coach is a very good coach anyway, so he'll know what they need to do.
We saw Cecilia Brackhouse lose her undefeated record last weekend. Mm. She's getting into the later 30s now as well. Katie is starting to approach that as well. Do you think there is an element of, at some point with Katie Taylor, through the amateur pedigree, you know, she's had some tough fights as a professional as well, that she will start to slow down and lose some of her sharpness? I mean, obviously hasn't boxed this year, but, you know, there is the worry as all these fighters, and Pursuit as well, you know, getting to the latter stages of her career, that might follow suit with Brackhouse and maybe not as sharp, be as sharp as she once was.
I think you're right, yes, that's true, but also what you're forgetting is, with age and with the experience comes a bit more craftiness to your work, a bit cleverer inside. The way you use your energy is a lot different. You know, I was fighting completely different when I was 25 to when I was 35. You know, just a totally different fighter. She will have learned so much from that first Pursuit fight, Katie Taylor. But then Pursuit will also be going into the rematch thinking, in here, man, I've beaten you once. I just have to do this again. I have to go in there and make hard again. There is no real changes that Pursuit can really make. It's Katie Taylor who has all the ability and all the technical skills who can make the adjustments in this fight. Pursuit just is going to be pursuing again.
From the first bell, exactly. Literally, pressure, pressure, pressure.
And Katie Taylor now has to show that she can make the adjustments. Everybody knows she can. She's a brilliant athlete. She's a great boxer. She's a brilliant inside fighter. Everyone forgets that. Her inside work is phenomenal at times. So she's got to really put it all together on Saturday night.
I think earlier on in her career, she used to stay on the inside a lot more and work the body. And as the career's progressed, she's boxed more on the outside. Do you think she has to just keep it long in this fight? Or do you think she has to do her work on the inside when she's in there as well?
I think she'd done the work on the inside in her earlier career because she was hurting everyone. The other girls just weren't up to her level. Then she's now finding out at this level that she's at, some of these girls are actually stronger than her. And they can work just as hard as her. So now she has to rely on her actual boxing skills. Her inside work is really cute. The left up to the body, the left up to the head. You know, uppercuts. Pursuit.
She throws like these looping shots, Pursuit. Yeah. I've seen her on the bag, like almost like, you know, Golovkin style, top of the head. Anything goes.
It's not great on the eye, but she just gets the work done, mate. And she puts it in there and she's just non-stop. As I say, her punches don't look the best. There's not much clout in them, but she's in your face constantly, and when someone's just on you, you know, doesn't give you time to think, doesn't give you time to breathe, doesn't give you time to counter, and that's what happened in that first fight. There was moments where Pursuit was just all over Katie Taylor. I said I was one of the very few on the panel that night. I think everybody thought she lost. I actually thought she won, because the better quality work came from Katie Taylor, in my opinion, but I couldn't have ruled out a draw in that first fight. You know, I wasn't judging it, writing down the scores as the rounds were going on, but my genuine feeling after it was Katie Taylor was just technically better. The better shots, the harder shots were coming from her. Pursuit threw a lot more, but just because you're throwing a lot more, it doesn't mean that they're the better punches.
Well, welcome back to Talk the Talk. Remarkably, not just an undisputed champion, but Katie Taylor's going to sing us a song.
Yeah, okay,
no, absolutely not. No. What's your karaoke number, or have you not really got one?
Simply the Best.
Really?
I'm joking.
No, yeah. It's Buck Thing. Yeah, so obviously, welcome. You are probably going to be the final guest on Talk the Talk. This is a massive show. You probably have missed it over the year with me and Tony, but press conference done.
Yeah.
You know, Delphine, I think she does exactly what she says on the tin.
Yeah.
Expect the same from her.
Yeah.
Going to come at you for 10 hard rounds and non-stop action.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think she can do anything else really other than put the pressure on. She's relentless. It is going to be a tough fight. But, you know, I am going to try to box a bit smarter this time round. But whether I'm going to do that or not on the night when I, you know, if I get punched, who knows what's going to happen. But I am going to try to box a bit smarter this time round.
I've noticed for you, like, obviously after height things happen, I said she's getting to you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I know some things come out on Sky and I think, I hope she didn't read that. You know what I mean? But we did do a online Zoom press conference initially. And I did feel like, particularly, one, you didn't really want to be there. And two, obviously she called you a paper champion at that time, which, you know, is very, you know, whatever you thought of the fight, for what you've achieved, that's strong words. But I've never known you really move your emotions, a bit like I was just saying to Tony about Alexander Povetkin, from anywhere, really.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Deep down, do you want to bash her up?
I guess I want to bash all my opponents up.
But this one, I mean, do you have dislike? Do you have dislike for anyone, Katie?
I don't think
I've never heard you say a bad word about anyone.
Yeah.
Well, not, I mean, probably to Brian about me. But you know, it's just a case of, you know. But I get the feeling in this one, and I feel you had that a little bit with Serrano as well. I know you never shared a ring with her, but there must be part of you that thinks, I want to do a number on you this time.
I definitely don't. I want to win convincingly, but I wouldn't say I have a dislike for anyone. I know Serrano, I just want to be involved in the big fights. Like, Serrano is a big fight, Persoon is a big fight, and it's great to make statements against those kind of girls. And that's what I want to do on Saturday night. I want to make a huge statement, and I want to win convincingly.
Well, the good news is that I don't know if he said it because he knew you were on the show later, but Tony said he thought you won the first fight, which is good news, Tony, as well. But looking forward to the rematch, Tony.
I am. I just think the better quality work comes from you.
Yeah.
Yes, she throws a lot of punches. She might throw more punches than you, but the actual, you know, if someone throws 20 punches and you throw one that knocks them out, does that mean they've won because they threw 20 and you throw one?
Obviously not, because they've been knocked out.
Yeah,
that's
what I mean, silly ass. You always get one. But I just thought you were better on, and I think you're technically better. You're the one that can make the adjustments in the fight.
Yeah.
I actually just listened to Delphine Bassoon's interview, and she passed an interesting comment. She said, I only pressured in the fight because the opponents always run away from me. She went, I can actually box if I want to. And I was thinking, who are you kidding? Mm-hmm. You know, she comes forward and she has a fight. That's a game. I've watched it a number of times. I just think you've got more skills, your arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, you're better. Your footwork is massive in this fight, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I just think you're so much more skilled than her. But as you say, everyone's got a plan till they get punched in the face. When she hits you in the face, are you going to see red? I don't know. You'll know this.
Yeah.
But I can't wait. I think the last fight is probably the best women's fight I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, it was, without a shadow of a doubt. I think it was that good. But, you know, for me, you won, and I think you'll win again.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Yeah.
Do you feel that pressure over the 2-minute rounds? You know, it's a big debate, man. You don't really get involved in that conversation. But we were talking about earlier, we think that it's actually great for the excitement of women's boxing because it's all action. But it does become more of a, like, a crapshoot, if you like, of needing to produce the work within that 2 minutes. Unquestionably, you see less stoppages because you're not getting the chance to obviously finish a 3-minute round. But firstly, do you feel like you have to do more in that period? And where do you stand on the whole 2 or 3 minutes thing?
Do you want it to be 3?
I don't really know what the right answer is. I obviously spar 3-minute rounds all the time.
I was going to say that. You train and spar
3-minute
rounds.
I do. And obviously, before the fight, maybe a week or two before the fight, I go back to 2-minute rounds. But the 2-minute rounds definitely go a lot faster, and it's a high pace. It's more like a sprint rather than anything else. But in a 3-minute round, you can obviously pace yourself a bit more. You can sit down on your shots a bit more. You will definitely see a lot more knockouts in a 3-minute round. But the 2-minute rounds are very, very exciting
to
watch as well.
Does that put the pressure on, though, particularly with Persoon coming forward all the time, in that 2 minutes? You've got to do enough of the quality work that Tony was talking about to catch the judges.
You can't afford to be lazy at all in 2-minute rounds. You have to always be focused, and you can't take any silly shots. And that's going to be very, very important in this fight as well.
The thing that stood out about Persoon for me was her durability and how well she took a shot.
Yeah.
Nailed it to the body numerous times. And once or twice her elbow dropped, but she would recompose herself and be ready to jump on you again.
Yeah.
But fighters have their moments and their nights sometimes, and it's similar to Tasha Jones the other night. Was that her night? Was that her moment? And I think that's the very best of Persoon that we seen that night.
Yeah.
We hope so.
And that's not the best. You've kind of like Sugar Ray Leonard against Roberto Duran. He fights his fight in the first one and he loses. Now you fought her fight in the first one and still won. If you go in and fight your fight, how good and how far apart can you show you guys are?
Yeah.
I think the levels between you and almost everybody else are huge when you box to the levels that you're capable of.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's shown earlier in your career. Everybody was so far apart. The golfing class was massive.
Yeah.
I think with Pursoon, she's only closed the gap purely on one thing only, and that's toughness and work rate. Everything else is a big difference. So we'll see on Saturday night. I mean, I can only imagine you can't wait to, I don't want to say shut her up, because she's so nice, she don't want to shut anyone up. But just to shut everybody up who's had the little pop and had the little go, you're saying, oh, she never won, I thought this, but...
Do you see that? Do you follow it? Do you read it on social
media? I've obviously seen a few comments over the last year. I think the worst thing you can do after a tough fight like that is to go on social media, because it is criticism after criticism.
Idiots.
Yeah, but you know who to listen to as well. I have a great team around me. I have a great family around me. I know that it wasn't my best performance on the night, and I'm looking forward to putting on a better performance on Saturday night. You didn't see the best of me that night, but like I said, you did see the best of Pursoon. And... so that's it, really.
I just want to stick a microphone when she's won straight at it and say, talk and say exactly what you feel, because I'm pretty confident.
Okay.
I might get even a swear word out of
you.
I don't know what's going to happen.
She crumbled in front of the crowd last time in Manchester. She had a little moment. Yeah. I didn't know if it was acting. It was the best acting ever. But it had me. I was well enough to be honest.
I'm convinced you're going to have an emotional imploding moment. And I'm just hoping I'm there for it, because I want to see Kate Taylor go nuts and... maybe give it to a few journalists, some clowns.
Maybe she needs to watch some of your interviews from the past time. She'll be all right.
I never held back, mate. I just spoke my mind. I didn't care.
Yeah, yeah.
Katie, before you go, just the last question. I know it's kind of, say, it's not boring talking about women's boxing, but it's great that everyone's continuously talking about it. But at the moment, right now, it's just a part of every show. You know, we've seen fights headline recently. You headline in Manchester. You're part of this card as well. Like, it's remarkable how it's just escalated so quickly, and it's almost become the norm.
Yeah, it's
you know,
amazing,
I think when you were coming through, it was like, oh wow, there's a women's fight on the card. Now it's like, there's not a women's fight on the card.
Yeah.
It's quite unusual.
Yeah,
you must be quite proud of that as well, because it was a big part of your drive.
It's incredible. I've always wanted women's boxing to be the same level as UFC. You know, the women in the UFC are a level par with the men, and we're slowly getting there. I don't know if it's going to get to a level par with the men, but to have a women's fight in every single card is phenomenal, and they're not just they're absolutely great fights as well, and people are getting entertained by these fights, so it is fantastic.
Katie Taylor in the UFC, got any takedown game?
I can't fight in the ground.
Just stand up only in a cage, but rules are you've got to stand on your feet.
You should be very proud. You're the, in my opinion, one of the biggest parts of how women's boxing has grown. You know, you're just brilliant in what you've done. And I think for your country-wise as well, they should be very proud of you. You've grown a sport. And I'm not going to say single-handed, because there was Morbi, there was plenty before you, like Leila Ali and
exactly,
some of the great champions before you, but you've actually taken it up to another level.
Yeah, thank you.
And you do it so well, so congratulations.
Yeah,
well
thanks,
done.
Sony.
And just give us a great moment on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm dying to see Katie Taylor go nuts and put a few people's
feet. And you, Sky, Johnny, whoever it was, Macklin. I don't hold my breath on that, Katie, but we wish you all the best. We can't wait for the rematch.
Thank you.
Of course, do not miss it. The Undisputed Lightweight Women's World Championship, Katie Taylor against Delphine Pursoon, the rematch.
Good luck, champ.
Thanks, Katie. Thank you. Of course, the main event, fight everybody's looking forward to, Dillian White against Alexander Povetkin. I think when you're on the ground and you see the fighters behind closed doors, you get to really understand about the camps they've had, about their mindset going into the fight, and what kind of fight we can expect. Both guys appear to be in phenomenal condition. Both guys appear to be phenomenally focused. You know, we were joking about Alexander Povetkin, who's been training like he's trying to make weight this week, literally in the gym non-stop, beasting himself the whole week. And Dillian White looks in the shape of his life. But a very, very dangerous fight, one that you expect Dillian White to come through in the second half of the fight.
Yeah. I'll refer to this fight as I referred to some of the others throughout fight camp. I can't see how this one doesn't catch fire, because the styles of both fighters and the way they've won throughout their careers, the fighters, they go forward and they look to have a fight. If these two go in to this fight and do what they've done throughout their careers, it's just going to be a thriller, mate. I really can't see it being anything else but a war. I think Dillian has to be careful the first three or four rounds. Povetkin is very sharp early on and is strong with the left hook. But if everything goes all right in the first four rounds, which I foresee it being, I think Dillian gets on top after three or four rounds and just wears Povetkin down. I think a nasty knockout might be coming Saturday night.
People talk about those left hooks of both guys, which they are fantastic, but Povetkin also throws a very good right hand as well. Saw an interesting piece on the Macklin and Barry Jones show where they were talking about Dillian's ability to catch and counter with the left hook, and that could be something that could be set up from the right hand of Alexander Povetkin.
It is, but the one thing that everybody's forgetting about is, in my opinion, Dillian is probably the best body puncher in the heavyweight division, and that's what will drag an awful lot out of Alexander Povetkin. At his age, Povetkin's only getting older now. He's a lot more worn. This isn't the Povetkin from 2012 and 2013. This is 2020 Povetkin, mate, and he's took some hidings. AJ was one of them. Klitschko was one of them. He's been done a number of times, and his levels have been shown. His size is his biggest deterrent in the heavyweight division because he's just not physically imposing and big enough. You'll see when he comes up against Dillian. We seen Dillian last night. Dillian is a big fucking unit. And he is just, he's big, mate. And the thing about him is, he's big, he's durable, and he's brave. And them three things together, being a heavyweight, it can mean nothing but trouble. And for someone like Povetkin, at his size and the way he is, unless he lands that big shot early in the fight, I just think he's onto a hiding to nothing.
Welcome back to Talk the Talk, and we're delighted to be joined by the WBC Interim Heavyweight Champion of the World. Just a couple of days to go now, Dillian. We won't keep you too long, but press conference done. I said to Tony, like, you've matured a lot over the years. Some of the old press conferences, I mean, I remember Ian Lewison, Dave Allen, of course, the Chisora stuff. Is it just a case now of, I know what I'm up against, quality fighter, I don't need to conserve my energy? Or have you still got that ability to flick the switch at any time?
No, the ability never goes, really. It's just, Povetkin ain't really causing no problem, is he? He's a very clever guy, he's very intelligent. You know, you can see in his eyes that he's thinking, yeah, right, we're going to see what's going to happen Saturday. You can see a lot, but he's not one of those guys that go out and, like a Derek Cesaro, is quite hostile and tried to use that to intimidate people. Like Ian Lewis, and we're from the same area, you know, but, you know, like, he's a growing man, isn't he? He's a proper guy, isn't he?
You got a smile on your face this week. Is a lot of that because of the preparation, you know, you had? You look back at the last year of your career. I mean, Marius Wack, obviously, you know, you had all your trouble leading up to that, but was out of shape for that fight. The Rivas fight, I was saying to Tony the other day, I don't even know how you got in the ring that night and put that performance together. But this time, it's kind of like, everything's gone perfectly well, so it's down to you, and you know you're going to go out and perform.
You know, life's a funny thing, man. You know, I've learned to take the good with the bad. You know, obviously, that last year was just, it's mad. Like I said to someone, that last year of my life, I can only remember patches of it. It's weird. It was like I was just wandering around in a daze for long. It was like I try and remember stuff, like, oh, and then you just can't remember. It's just mad. It was just like I was walking around in a zone. My head was all over the place, spending crazy money in legal fees. And you know what's mad? When you know you're innocent and people is belittling you and criticising you, all the media, Eddie and stuff on the phone when I was calling him and stuff like that. You know, it's bad. And then you can't defend yourself. That's the rest. And people say, it's crazy, man. But I think I can definitely become a stronger person from it, you know?
So, I was going to say them words, your mental fortitude. Mm. At times like that, you've shown what you can come through, anything. Because to be accused of the nonsense and the ridiculous things that it was, I mean, I don't even know how you got in the ring.
Respect, you sticked up for me as well.
That's just being honest. I knew you wouldn't.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah,
just putting it out there.
It really annoyed me that journalist. It still infuriates me to this day. That you can tarnish a man's career off hearsay and disgust him. But the main thing is now it's gone. Everyone knows you're a clean fighter and it's been and done with. So
focus.
You go into this fight, you're focused, you turn up, you're a different person, different character. As you said before, the Lewison days and the Derek days, it's a different animal now, and that comes with experience and maturity. It doesn't matter. Povetkin could have learned something to say there, swore, and it wouldn't have got to him. Because By the time he's got to the stage, he's laughing, he's smiling, he's in a different place. And you get there through, you find that place through being at peace with yourself, and also when you're in amazing shape. He knows deep down, no matter what Povetkin does, he's ready for it. The only time that confusion and things can be thrown into the park is when you're not in shape. So when he fights Wack, he's on edge. I know I'm not in shape. I know I'm not feeling
one gear,
good.
Mm. One gear. And you know you can't go up. You have to stay just beneath it, just right there.
But now you're just a different person, in shape, ready to fight, prepared, 12 weeks, whatever it is in camp, in Portugal. And it's just a different person. I can't wait for Saturday night to get yourself going and get what you deserve, Dillian. That's
Thank
all
you.
That this is about. You get what you deserve. Because in Thank boxing, you. No one gives you nothing for nothing. It's the most ruthless business and game in the world, and you don't get nothing for nothing. You're getting what you deserve.
Are we expecting a fast start from Povetkin on Saturday night, or are we expecting a cagey start? What do we think?
It's hard to say because he's one of those guys where he's a very intelligent guy because he's had such a long career as an amateur, as a long career as a professional. He sort of gauged the fight and do what he thinks. That like, fights he starts fast, some fights he starts a bit slower. You know, I don't know, you know.
We saw him start fast against AJ, but also against Hunter and get buttoned early. Yeah. Didn't win that fight. And actually did really well to come back in the fight.
And if I hit him with the stuff Hunter hit him with, then we'll see. Because let's be honest, Hunter should be a light heavyweight cruiserweight at best.
Cruiserweight.
You know what I mean? He's not a big guy. And he was rocking Alexander all over the place. You know, someone as big as me, if I start setting up my shots early. But, you know, it's dangerous. So you got to be careful what you do and all your approaches.
Is that the key breaking
you know
him
mean?
Down? I mean, we saw a very close fight between him and AJ until AJ started to find the success and start chipping away and damaging
him. Yeah, you know what? AJ made a lot of mistakes early in the fight. What AJ was doing, he kept him bending down to his level, which I didn't understand. You're 6'6". Do what Klitschko does to him. Hit him and tie him up. Why are you going to bend down? You know, it's like AJ is good at long range and short range, but mid range is a bit. It's like he doubts himself a bit mid-range at time, and that's where you get in trouble.
Also, in this fight as well, something that's not many people have talked about apart from you is Dillian's body punches.
Everyone keeps going on you, left hooks, and they're going to trade. Now, he's got a good right hand, but I think a huge factor in this is your body punch. Mm-hmm. When you hit him, looking at the two ears next to each other, the width and the girth of you, you are a true heavyweight in the modern era of heavyweights. He's a heavyweight, yes, but you look at the shape and his frame. When you start hitting someone like him to the body, and then not just hitting the body, you hit him to the body, and then you get him, you lean on him, and you put that weight, he's going to feel it. Believe you me. As I say, his advantages in this fight for Povetkin are his sharpness and speed early doors. He has to start fast, because if he starts slow, he could get ironed out.
Mm.
If he starts quick, he's going to hope to tire Dillian in some way. Fighters study fighters and the previous fights. If they're going to look at Dillian White's last fight, I don't think they will. But if they do, they're going to be looking at a completely different fighter. Or if they look, you know, it depends which part of Povetkin. As Dillian studied, you know, I would look as far back as...
I studied the early Povetkin, Cedric Boswell, the Eddie Chambers, you know, those guys when he was sharp, you know
if
what I mean?
If you watch that
those
version guys, of him, that's the best of him.
That's what I do. I don't, you know, because... People change.
Yes.
Motivation changes people. You know, he might have been in his last at Hunter, made us think, oh, well, you know, against me, he's thinking, I can beat this guy.
Yeah.
And you know what it is that? That's like you when you win against David. You knew you could beat David.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what shape David come in. You knew mentally, I can beat this guy.
Yeah.
And if you look at David's physique and stuff, you think, oh, Belly's gonna get twat.
Yeah.
You know, but you know how to fight. And you, when you have a belief and you know, listen, then you become dangerous.
When you're in that shape and you're in that place that I set up here, you're unbeatable. In your mind, you believe that and you do it. And I say, Alexander Povetkin is a brilliant fighter, has been a brilliant fighter. Dillian is in the same position, a brilliant fighter. You beat name after name after name. You go through Povetkin Saturday, there is nothing left to prove. The guys, the contenders have all been dealt with. There is only... Once he goes to Povetkin, there is only the three of you guys left. Well, four, because you still can't completely write out Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is only four guys left. Once Saturday's over, four guys left, and do it whichever way you need to do it, but we need to find the king of them four.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the aim. Dillian, before you go, one last question. We know you got a big night on Saturday for yourself, but you're very passionate about your stable of fighters as well that you work with.
It's a madman in the stable.
Oh, mate, have you actually seen the Congo, not the Congo, Babich press conference yet? I mean,
no, I ain't seen it.
You watch it, man. I mean, it all went off. I mean, I was sitting in the middle. I mean,
Alan's crazy. Even in sparring, the guy acts like he's fighting. I'm saying to him, Alan, relax. The guy is crazy. Listen, the guy, he's just, he comes to spar and he's like, he just pays, he walks around. Yes, I said to him, it is crazy. He goes, champ, I come here to give you 200% of work. That's it. I don't care about nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good.
Tough love for him, though.
Yeah. I think he'd do this guy in 3 rounds.
Really?
I think the pressure he brings and the aggression he brings is very inexperienced. Yeah, very inexperienced. He's only had around 3 fights. But there's certain fighters that's got something about them. And Allen's one of those guys. He's not a massive heavyweight and this and the other, but he's a tough guy, man. And
you obviously know a lot about him personally because you've done it with him.
Yeah.
I had that with Craig Glover. When I signed Craig Glover, the cruiserweight.
Yeah.
Just before he turned pro, he come into my camp and I was getting ready to fight a cruiserweight. Mm. And he come in and he said, I'll do 6 rounds with you. I said, if you want to do it, you're going to do 8. He hadn't even had a pro fight yet and I put it on him. And I'm telling you, I put it on him. And I needed to see if he had he got an absolute hide in this day. But he stood there and he took, and at the end of it, I said, you're going to do all right. I know he's got it. He might lose sometimes, he might not be the best, but I'll tell you something, he'll never
quit. He's got heart, you know. Yeah. That's the Allen. Listen, I've hit that guy the uppercut that took both his legs off the floor.
Yeah.
And he just went, yes, champ, let's go. The guy is nuts. I mean, literally, he pressured me one day and just went, crack! Like, you know those punches that you're thinking, it's so slow, you write down. And he just went like that, and he went, yes, champ, let's go. I said, you know what,
he's
I'm saying, let's
go.
You know what I mean? Because he's exciting as well. He's an all-out action fighter, you know, and then Chris as well.
He speaks well. He seems very confident.
He's a special welterweight. He just hasn't had the chance to shine. He's a special welterweight. I just hope the inactivity haven't been bad for him. But he's a special welterweight, and people will see. Yeah. Very, very.
Do you want to push them, Dillian? Do you want to push them quick?
He's never afraid to take. I mean, if he believes in him, he wants to see. You know, and you've seen that with Fabio as well. Yeah.
You know, with these guys, it's good to have a lot of fights in boxing and build up experience and that. But you see it time and time again. Look at Adam Kanaki. Build up, plow through a lot of guys, and then
take the step in the fall part.
Took the step against Elena, so Elena splat him in 2 rounds. Mm. You know what I mean? Because he haven't had the right fights prepare him for those fights. You know what I mean? And I don't want to make that mistake. I don't want to be hyping a guy up. He goes in against Conor or Josh Kelly and lose because he's not ready, you know?
Well, we look forward to those fights, but we particularly look forward to your fight, my friend. Good luck. We can't wait.
Cheers,
do not miss it. Dillian White, Alexander Povetkin, Saturday night live on Sky Sports Box Office.
Cheers.